We're 3 weeks away from the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 9th and Saturday, June 10th in Collinsville, Illinois. Register today at issuesetc.org.
The fundamental problem for every society is the unattached male.
So at last, the Lord's word turns into a prayer, a proper petition that the Lord would do his will, that it would be done with us.
The only thing that's unique enough to justify government participation in the institution at all is the role that it plays in creating the next generation.
The drive is on to drive doctors and nurses who are pro-life out of medicine. And by the way, to keep those who believe such things from going to medical school in the first place.
In a little bit, we're going to be playing Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Those four soundbites will be played in their entirety, and then it's your opportunity to vote for Soundbite of the Week and win the LPR bundle package. And I Have Issues t-shirt and Issues Etc. travel mug, pen, bumper sticker, and notepad. Goes to the listener with the best vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, coming up in just about a half hour here on Issues Etc. In the meantime, it's This Week in Pop American Christianity. Today, the question is, does God threaten to kill those who oppose God's anointed? Joining us, Pastor Chris Roseborough, regular guest and pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota. He's host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
Okay, before we hear the first example that you brought for us, when in evangelicalism we hear the claim that someone is anointed, what does that mean?
The best way I can describe it is if we think about Roman Catholicism, that they teach that in order for a priest to actually be truly in the office, he has to be ordained by a fellow who was ordained by a fellow who was ordained by a fellow that can be traced all the way back to Peter or one of the apostles. And so in their ordination, they believe that there is an indelible change in the person who has been ordained, and that makes them then worthy to conduct the Mass and things of this nature. The teaching in the charismatic and Pentecostal movement of the anointing is similar in the sense that they believe that when somebody has a special call on their life to fulfill some kind of important role within ministry, that they receive either like a prophetic mantle, or, and they always refer to it as an anointing. It's a special manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And that person who has it, and it could be a pastor, it could be a prophet. And now that supposedly apostles are back on the earth, at least that's what the New Apostolic Reformation says, that these apostles also have anointings. And so this is a special manifest presence of the Holy Spirit on the person's life to preach powerfully or perform signs and wonders or to give prophecy or things of that nature. That's what they're that's what they're talking about.
The first example you brought comes from R.C. Kendall. Who is this and what are we going to hear from him?
All right. R.T. Kendall is one of the elder statesmen within the broader charismatic and Pentecostal movements. And actually, we're going to hear three sound bites from him. And this is from a sermon that he recently gave talking about, you know, making sure that we respect the anointing. And we're going to listen to him, and this is kind of the standard template as to how this doctrine is taught. We're going to hear him begin by referencing the story from the Old Testament of Elisha basically being insulted by some children and them being mauled by bears. But we'll let him kind of tease this out.
I wonder how many of you know that when Queen Elizabeth II was given the throne, the coronation, June 3rd, 1953, that she was anointed with oil by the Archbishop of Canterbury and became the anointed Queen of the Commonwealth. She is God's anointed for the Commonwealth. And yet, when I speak of the anointed today, that's not what I'm talking about. Or how many of you will recall that young David had such respect for King Saul, although King Saul was trying to kill him, young David would not lay a hand on King Saul because he said, God forbid that I should touch God's anointed. This passage that Bruce just read is easy to understand, and yet it's hard to understand. Could I read it one more time? It just takes a minute. When Elisha went up to Bethel, as he was walking along the road, some youths came out of the town and jeered at him. Go on up, you bald head. Go on up, you bald head. Elisha turned around, looked at them, and called down a curse on them in the name of the Lord. Then two bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of the youths. How does that passage make you feel? When 42 young boys are struck dead by the power of God, what are we to believe? Did Elisha abuse his anointing? Did he misuse his anointing? Or is God safeguarding respect for the prophet? Or is he safeguarding respect for the anointing?
All right, Chris, we got a few minutes here before we need to take a break. What did we hear there? Sounds like he's setting up something.
That's exactly what he's doing. He's setting something up, and the questions are kind of, you know, the way he's directing it. So he didn't actually read the story in context. So we have an out-of-context account, and we see that 42 boys, they were torn by bears. And so there's something going on here. But when he interjected about what does this tell you about, quote unquote, the anointing, that's he's engaging in something called eisegesis. He's sticking something into the text that technically isn't there. And in order to really understand what this text says, you're going to have to go back into 2 Kings chapter 2 and note exactly what is going on. But he's not interested in that. What he's basically saying is they disrespected the anointing. And he said so via question, and kind of by assertion, if you would. And, well, they died. They were mauled by a bear. So there's something else that he's trying to get at. And this is the way this particular doctrine is told and kind of communicated within the charismatic and Pentecostal movements.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity, answering the question, does God threaten to kill those who oppose God's anointed, or shall we say in our postmodern context, those in the church who claim to be God's anointing? That's a question we'll take up. And here's some more examples on this Friday afternoon, May the 19th. Pastor Chris Roseborough is host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. We'll continue our conversation with him on the other side of the break. Then we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. You could vote in advance for one of the four soundbites that we have posted at our website. You can vote at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc, or send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. More of This Week in Pop American Christianity on the other side of the break.
Daily exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
There's a dangerous movement in evangelicalism known as the New Apostolic Reformation, and they literally claim that in the past few decades, God has restored apostles and prophets to the church.
Chris Roseborough talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
In my presentation, I'll be making the case against modern-day apostles and prophets. As part of the presentation, we'll be talking about who's teaching this ecclesiology, the inherent dangers of it, but also what's at the root of it, and that is a false understanding of the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
You can meet and hear Chris Roseborough making the case against modern-day prophets and apostles Friday, June 9th and Saturday, June 10th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity with Pastor Chris Roseborough answering the question, does God threaten to kill those who oppose God's anointed? So to kind of summarize what we've come up against so far, Chris, we've got many teachers. We're not just talking about a few, but many teachers, especially in the Pentecostal and charismatic wings of evangelicalism, who make claims for themselves or it's claimed of them that they have this special anointing from God, this special call from God, and that that puts them in a different class of Christian. And here we have R.T. Kendall, who is attempting to at least begin building the case that if someone has such an anointing, it might be dangerous to disrespect them. Is that about where we're at?
Oh, yeah, that's exactly where we're at. And yeah, you got the message loud and clear, and yet he's being so careful and subtle in how he's teaching this doctrine.
What's the next we're going to hear from Kendall?
Well, we're going to hear him switch the subject now and bring in another text. And that other text is going to be the story of Ananias and Sapphira. And watch how he's going to take it, again, another story out of context and begin to weave it into the broader narrative that he is very subtly saying. And in fact, the best way to say it is that he's teaching this doctrine by assertion. And so he's going to take this text from Acts chapter 5 out of context, not really exegete it, but by not reading it from the text, he's going to be able to insert ever so carefully certain things that are not in the text in order to weave it into the bigger narrative that he's telling.
Why is this sermon today important? Well, for several reasons. First, it is to teach us respect for the anointing. The anointing means the power of the Holy Spirit. The anointing, the presence of God. There's an occasion in the book of Acts where the presence of God was present in such power that the Holy Spirit just took over. And some of the early church became so detached from their earthly things that they would sell their property and take all the money. They didn't give just 10% or 90%. They laid 100% into the laps of the apostles. They didn't have to do that, but that's what they did. But you see, there were those who wanted to look as though they did it. They wanted to be in. So instead of opting out, a man by the name of Ananias and joined by his wife Sapphira, they wanted to be in. So they took money from their property but gave part of it to the church and kept part for themselves. Now, if the Holy Spirit had not been present in such power, chances are nothing would have happened. I'm sure people have lied to the Holy Spirit since and nothing happened. But when God is present in great power, it becomes very, very serious that one does not grieve or quench the Spirit.
Okay, I can see kind of the building blocks of his case coming together, mm-hmm. but as you say, it's theology by assertion. But he did add something there, and that is, you know, ordinarily you can get away with this kind of thing, but when the Spirit is there in great power, this anointing is there in great power, you better watch out.
Right, so he notice he's not reading the text. And he did the same thing from 2 Kings. He didn't really read out the text. Here he's not reading out the text. And all of this is to create the impression that this is an actual biblical teaching. So the person who's sitting under this kind of teaching, and by the way, when I was in the Pentecostal and charismatic movement, I heard this exact sermon. I didn't hear it from R.T. Kendall, but I mean, there's this is a standard stock sermon that is preached in the charismatic and Pentecostal movements, and the goal of which is really designed to put the fear of God in you so that you do not question or challenge, but always unquestioningly obey the leaders that God has placed over you because they have a special anointing. So you'll note then that Kendall made it clear. The reason I'm telling you this is so that you will have a quote-unquote respect for the anointing. And by respect, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, what I'm really saying is don't you dare disrespect your anointed leaders. Because, I mean, after all, bad things might happen to you if you did that. But this is almost, I mean, seriously, this is almost like a mafia threat. You think about the, you know, like the stereotypical mafia thug that we see in different movie depictions and stuff like that, where the guy is knocking on the door of like the local businesses, right? And he says, yeah, I'm here to collect my protection money. He says, what do you mean protection money? Yeah, well, you know, you owe us protection money. Why do I have to pay you protection money? Well, because if you don't, something bad might happen to you. This is exactly the same tactic that the mafia uses in shaking people down and making them pay protection money. But in the Pentecostal movement, this is the shakedown designed not only to get 10% of the money in your wallet, you know, that's an important part of this, but also offerings and unquestioning allegiance to the anointed leader. That's really what's going on here.
Does he also ignore the fact, and again, this goes to context, which you've mentioned several times here, does he also ignore the fact that Ananias and Sapphira are dealing with the Apostle Peter, not just some guy who claims to have an anointing, but someone who actually has been commissioned by Christ as an apostle? Does ignoring that fact do something there?
Well, in his way of thinking, you know, that God has established what's called the fivefold ministry, and they believe in the ongoing office of apostle and prophet. And so the idea here is that they don't see a distinction between today's anointed people and the Apostle Peter. They think that they're really on the same level, and that that when it talks about the church being built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets and Christ Jesus being the cornerstone, they believe that these are ongoing offices and there's ongoing anointings for each of these different offices. So in his mind, in the modern day charismatic and Pentecostal movements, especially with the arrival of the New Apostolic Reformation, you know, more than a decade ago, there is no difference in their way of thinking, none whatsoever. I mean, these are all functionally the same.
I'm beginning to see a parallel or a similarity here, Chris. It seems like years ago, but it wasn't that long ago that we spent quite a bit of time talking about Mark Driscoll and his enterprise out there on the Northeast Mars Hill. And there was I don't know if he ever really claimed some sort of anointing that might have sounded too archaic for a guy like Driscoll, but there was the same kind of don't cross me kind of a theme going on in his ministry. Eventually did him in, really.
Yeah. And this is where we need to pay attention to something that Jesus warned. Now, let's quibble about words for a second here. And that is that R.T. Kendall is saying you need to show respect for, quote-unquote, the anointing. Now, if we were to translate the word anointing into Hebrew, the word would be Mashiach, Messiah. If we were to translate the word anointing into Koine Greek, the word would be Christos, or Christ. And so this is where we need to pay really close attention to something that Jesus says in the Olivet Discourse. And in warning us about the last days, here's what it says. Jesus says in Matthew 24, starting at verse 4, "See to it that no one leads you astray, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the anointed one." and they will lead many astray. Later in the passage, Jesus says in verse 24, for false, and I'm going to translate Christos here as anointed ones, for false anointed ones and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. What happens is that when we read the Olivet Discourse and we see that there's going to be false Christs and false prophets, we think that Jesus is kind of speaking about false Christs in a narrow sense as those who claim to be Jesus himself. And clearly, that is part of what Jesus is talking about. But Jesus here in the Olivet Discourse is using Christos, the anointed ones, in a broader sense than that. And he's talking about false people claiming to have a special anointing. And so whether it's the Pope, whether it's vision-casting leaders of the seeker-driven movement, or the anointed ones of the charismatic movement, all of these are ones that Jesus is warning us about, those claiming to have a special inside track with God. They have transcended normal Christianity, and now they are in a different tier altogether, and they are the super special anointed ones. And once you get into that group, you cannot be questioned, you cannot be challenged, you cannot be disrespected, because to do so, well, I mean, we wouldn't want anything bad to happen to you now, would we?
The third cut that you've brought from R.T. Kendall, what should we listen for?
All right, so the next cut is him cashing out, if you would. So we're going to listen to how he finishes using the text from Acts 5 with Ananias and Sapphira, and then where he starts to put the application, and it's clear as day what he's doing.
Well, what happened was Ananias took part of the money, laid it to the disciples' feet, and Peter, who now has his anointing, immediately picks up on this. He discerns what Ananias had done. And he looked at him and said, why did you do this? Did you buy the property or sell it for so much? Yes. Did you give all the money to the church? No. Or did you make us think that you did? Well, yes. In doing this, Ananias, you have lied to the Holy Spirit. And at that moment, he was struck dead right on the spot. I can tell you one thing that emerged. There was a respect for the anointing. We're told that great fear came upon everybody. Well, now, although there is no biblical injunction that says you have to sell your property, give it to the church, for some reason, they wanted to do it, but they didn't want to do it. They gave part of it. And the Holy Spirit was present in such unusual power, they didn't get away with it. Well, this sermon today is important because it is wanting to teach you, and I hope that this will be a life-changing word, to have a respect for the anointing. But secondly, it is to teach us to respect God's anointed one, his minister, his prophet, his pastor, wherever his anointed can be found.
Okay, so how did he bring it home there, Chris?
Well, the way he brought it home is he told two stories where God killed people and said that the reason why they were killed was because of their lack of respect for the anointing. And then he gave us the encouraging idea that I want this to change your life so that you will respect the anointing and have the fear of the anointing that the people in the book of Acts had in Acts chapter 5, so that you can recognize and not do anything against God's anointed in your midst, like your pastor or these prophets and people that we are putting forward that you need to be listening to. And I'll tell you then how this plays out. Having been in the charismatic movement and also having literally talked with hundreds of people over the years who've come out of the charismatic movement. Here's how this plays out. They begin to eventually realize that their pastor or prophet or now apostle, that what they're saying can't square with the written word of God. They're beginning to feel doubts regarding what's being said and what's being done, and they're feeling the pinch financially. And so, after a service, they go and tell the pastor or pastrix or prophet or prophetess or apostle or apostolate, because now we have all of those now. And they say, I don't understand, because you said God's word says this, but when I open up the scripture and I look at this passage here, it's contradicting what you're saying. This isn't right. Something's wrong here. The immediate thing out of their mouth will be, touch not God's anointed. Don't you dare touch God's anointed. And if you don't say it to the pastor, then the idea is there's enough people now in the congregation who have the fear of the anointing that if you were to express doubts to them or maybe post something on social media expressing those doubts, they would act on behalf of the prophet or pastor and they would say to you, touch not God's anointing, his anointed one. Don't you dare question. And if you push beyond that and you don't sit down and be quiet, then you literally, the next step in all of this is they will literally excommunicate you, escort you to the door, and in certain cases, they will even file a restraining order against you. They will tell everybody in the congregation that they are to shun you, to not listen to you, that you are a dangerous subversive who doesn't respect God's anointed one. That's how this plays out.
It's This Week in Pop American Christianity Today. Does God threaten to kill those who oppose God's anointed? Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest, pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Don't miss an opportunity to meet Chris face-to-face and to hear him making the case against modern-day prophets and apostles at next month's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference. We only have room for 50 more attendees. Making the Case is Friday, June 9th, and Saturday, June 10th in Collinsville, Illinois, about 15 miles east of St. Louis. You'll find a conference schedule and registration information at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. It's the premier conference for the Christian laity. The Issues Etc. Making the Case conference, June 9th and 10th in Collinsville, Illinois. When we come back, we have one more brief example of the threat of God against those who would touch or interfere or even question those who claim God's anointing. I think it's Kenneth Copeland. Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. We'll be right back.
A new seminary student spends more than $300 on Greek textbooks. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, wants to reduce this financial burden with the Logos Project. Our goal is to raise funds to provide each of our new pastoral ministry students with the resources they need to begin their study. The Logos Project runs through May 19th. Learn more at generosity.ctsfw.edu. Help future pastors begin their journey with the Word of God. generosity.ctsfw.edu.
Memoria Press invites all Issues Etc. listeners to explore our Simply Classical curriculum, a set of full-year academic curriculum packages for children with learning challenges. Our classical writing program and our Christian studies are now based on your favorite CPH Bible storybooks. To learn more, visit classicalspecialneeds.com and use promo code LPR to save on your initial purchase. That's classicalspecialneeds.com.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
How did one of the world's most famous atheists become one of its most famous Christians? Find out in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May, From Atheism to Christianity, The Story of C.S. Lewis. It's written by regular guest Dr. Joel Heck. From Atheism to Christianity is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org from atheism to Christianity.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
The fundamental problem for every society is the unattached male.
So at last, the Lord's word turns into a prayer, a proper petition that the Lord would do his will, that it would be done with us.
The only thing that's unique enough to justify government participation in the institution at all is the role that it plays in creating the next generation.
The drive is on to drive doctors and nurses who are pro-life out of medicine. And by the way, to keep those who believe such things from going to medical school in the first place.
That's just a taste of the four sound bites we have to play for you here in a few minutes on Issues Etc. When we play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, we'll play them for you in their entirety, and then you give us a call, 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or go to our Facebook fan page and vote in advance, facebook.com/issuesetc, when we play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Pastor Chris Rosebro is our guest. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity. The question today, does God threaten to kill those who oppose God's anointed? You brought one more example for us here from good old Kenneth Copeland. Just explain for our listeners who he is.
Kenneth Copeland, a charismatic Pentecostal, and he's one of the major purveyors of what is called the Word of Faith or the Prosperity Heresy. And he is a disciple of Kenneth Hagin. And so this is a fellow who's been around for a while, and he's probably a billionaire based upon the figures that I've seen. But this is where we're going to be listening is just a brief snippet from a message he delivered recently in Anchorage, Alaska, and just made an offhand comment about what happened to one of his critics.
Well, see, back then, boy, I mean, people were calling me everything you could think of. They were writing books trying to destroy this ministry. There's a guy came out against us with such a vengeance that he said, I tell you, I think this ministry should be destroyed and removed from the face of the earth. And he was vehement about it. Of course, the man died right in the middle of it. But other than that, well, you know, and of course, he went on to heaven, but he cut his life short.
What exactly did Kenneth Copeland insinuate there?
He insinuated that God killed this critic. And, of course, he said he went to heaven, I mean, because he was a believer in Jesus. But he clearly cut his life short by daring to vehemently speak out against Kenneth Copeland and his ministry. And these are little subtle things that are oftentimes woven in to the, you know, the preaching and teaching within the charismatic movement, all designed to basically say, you don't question what's going on, you don't challenge what we're saying, you keep that Bible closed, and you just trust what we're saying is true, because again, you know, we wouldn't want God to, you know, kill you. I mean, you'll still go to heaven and stuff, you know, because, but you know, this is a career limiting move as far as your life expectancy within Christianity if you question, challenge, or oppose the anointed of God, like Kenneth Copeland and others.
Chris, you spend an awful lot of time doing exactly that, just challenging people who claim an anointing of the Holy Spirit, who claim this special status, this kind of untouchable status in pop American evangelicalism. Have there ever been, from either them or their devoted followers, the either veiled or unveiled threats of this kind?
Yes. The answer is yes, veiled and unveiled. A couple of them we actually had to turn over to authorities, but that's a different story altogether. So the answer is yes. And I just keep thinking of it this way, that every day that God gives me breath and I am able to serve my neighbor by coming to the microphone, and I continue to do it day after day, year after year, I'm sure that just is absolutely galling for them, because I think their expectation is that God is supposed to strike me dead, because I am opposing the work that he is doing on the earth right now through these apostles and prophets and people like that. So I pray that God gives me a full number of years just to gall these people and to basically prove that this theology is flat out false.
Were you to fall ill, God forbid, of some disease or something, would the script be, there you go, one of those heresy hunters who came after us, God's dealing with him?
Absolutely. That's exactly how the narrative would work. If I was crossing the street tomorrow and I got hit by the proverbial bus, oh, you better believe there's going to be blog posts and news stories about how Chris Roseborough cut his life short by opposing God's anointed and what God is doing in the earth today. Without fail, you will see those stories.
Does it ever run the other way? And that is, Kenneth Hagin, he's dead. Kenneth Copeland, he's going to die pretty soon. He's an old man. He's had a big, full life. Does it ever go the other way, that when these guys die, that somehow God was dealing with them?
No, it's always spun as, well, he's gone to his reward. And to which I would basically say, yep, that I would agree with. Most certainly true. These folks have gone to their reward, but it's not the reward you would think. It's always spun that these are mighty men or women in the faith and, prophetic anointed people, and now they've gone to receive their reward from Jesus with the expectation that they're going to hear from Jesus, well done. I fear that what they're going to really hear, because of the false teaching, the heresy, the false gospels that they're preaching, the false anointings that they claim to have, that they're going to hear Jesus' words that he gives us in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7, where they'll say to him, Lord, Lord, do we not prophesy in your name? Do we not perform many great signs and miracles in your name? And Jesus will say to them, depart from me, I never knew you. That's my fear for them.
It does highlight something that, and it's very sad to see from the outside looking in, that much of Pop American Christianity, especially in the charismatic Pentecostal wings, is in essence a spiritual tyranny. It's kind of I think the analogy made before was kind of the mafioso who makes the rounds every Monday asking for his envelope, saying, we wouldn't want anything bad. We wouldn't want your business to burn down now, would we? It's a tyranny, isn't it, Chris?
Oh, absolutely. And the tyranny begins with them and goes all the way to the devil himself. Unfortunately, these people are tapped into a spirit, but it's not the spirit, the Holy Spirit. It's a different spirit altogether. Christ says that his burden is easy and light, and Christ is about forgiving sins and bringing peace with God. But in the tyranny that they've set up, they basically have hijacked God's authority and basically said, if you speak out against me, God's the guy standing behind me, and he's going to smite you. So, you have the fear of God, and this is one of the things that is difficult for people coming out of the charismatic movement to shed, is that fear of speaking out and saying, this person prophesied falsely, they twisted God's word, they took half of my family savings. They won't speak, they're afraid to speak out like this because they still have that nagging doubt in their mind, what if that guy really is a man or woman of God? And so, yeah, it's a spiritual and a psychological tyranny that oftentimes people coming out of it actually have to spend some time detoxing and communicating with others and almost kind of like in spiritual therapy, because this is the ultimate spiritual abuse, if you would. And that's the fact that it's tyrannical in that way points to who the real guy is behind all of this. It's not Christ. It's the devil. These people are not anointed ones. They're not real Christs. They are little antichrists. That's the right way of putting it.
Is that why finally, Chris, they have to issue threats, veiled or otherwise?
Of course. It's the Wizard of Oz. When Dorothy finally makes it to the Emerald City and has an audience with the great and powerful Oz. And so what tactic does he engage in? He's got the smoke going and the hologram up. I'm great and powerful Oz, right? And you find out that the truth of the matter is that he's nothing. He's just this tiny little scrawny guy sitting behind a curtain, right? That's, these people know that that's what they really are. And so they have to put on the big show and rattle their sabers and claim the death of God over you, because in reality, they know that this is all a show. And the only thing they're really in it for, and I'll be blunt, is the money and the power. That's what they're really in. They're in it for themselves, and they know it.
Chris, give us your show notes for tonight's Fighting for the Faith.
So tonight we're going to listen to Andy Stanley talk about a sermon series based upon an inspiration from a Seinfeld stand-up comedy routine that he recently heard, where he'll hear Joyce Meyer teach us falsely about spiritual warfare. And then we're going to learn from a Roman Catholic priest teaching in a seeker-driven church how to do the Jesuit practice of the examining. So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting program.
You can listen to Chris Roseborough and Fighting for the Faith right after the live broadcast of Issues, Etc. in just about a half hour at piratechristian.com, piratechristian.com. Pastor Chris Roseborough is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, thanks for your time.
Thank you, Todd.
We've got four sound bites to play for you on the other side of the break. And after we've played those four for you, we need you to vote and tell us which one you think should be Issues, Etc. soundbite of the week. 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org, our Twitter address at issuesetc, and our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Issues, Etc. soundbite of the week is next.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page, or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Located 10 minutes north of Worcester in the heart of liberal Massachusetts, Trinity Lutheran Church in Clinton is a solid, orthodox, confessional, liturgical outpost of the Missouri Synod, where God's word is not changed to agree with the latest social trend. No megachurch fog here, just the law and gospel, every Sunday at 10 a.m. Come join us and check us out at trinitylutheranclintonma.org.
Parents, you know the church is persecuted, even when you don't feel it or see it. But how can you prepare your children for a post-Christian world where that persecution is increasingly obvious? Read the May issue of The Lutheran Witness to learn more about catechesis, persecution, and why it's your job, not your pastor's, to train your children in the faith. Visit cph.org/trylutheranwitness for a special offer. $6.99 for 6 digital or print issues. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans and their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces, lcms.org/armedforces.
Providing artillery support for the church militant on the front lines, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
I'm delighted to be chairman of Preach the Word Project, a project of our synod to strengthen the preaching of all of us pastors in the synod. We know how eternally important that is.
Issues, Etc. regular guest Dr. Carl Fekencher talking about the new Preach the Word Project.
So we've put together a program of 12 modules that will be coming out this year and over the next 3 years on a variety of preaching topics for pastors to do together with two other pastors, two guys they trust, two guys they feel comfortable with, written materials and very fine video quality materials that are now becoming available.
Preach the Word helps pastors work together to improve their preaching with several resources and by interacting with seminary professors and fellow preachers. Find out more at lcms.org/preachtheword. lcms.org/preachtheword. Preaching is challenging business. We all can use some fresh ideas. lcms.org/preachtheword.